From the land of the Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 16th day of October 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons will tell us how busy they've been over the weekend taking in corn and whether rain really did slow down farmers. Saturday afternoon, by the way, I rolled by that facility just outside of Champaign and saw the manager there, Brian Stark, out at the end of the driveway directing traffic. So they've been busy. We'll talk with them more if we can get hold of them, that is. We'll also hear from Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, about last Thursday's WASDE and crop production numbers and what that might mean in the month of November and how he expects trade to continue in Chicago. We'll check in on the weather forecast, too, with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse as we make our way through this Monday edition of our closing market report here from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, Kurt, thanks for being with us. The combines are rolling. How much pressure, in particularly this week when the weather should be good, do you think it will put on the marketplace?
I think once we get, through this week, we'll see how the last half materializes, particularly in beans. Looking for bean harvest, anywhere from 44% to 53% complete as a nation, 36% last week. There's going to be beans wrap up in the southern part of Illinois here and portions of Indiana here if the weather cooperates the rest of the week. Now, I know there were some heavy rains, over the last week in some areas. They're going to be a little slower, tough going. But for areas that's been dry and received a reasonable amount of rain, bean harvest is going to quickly start to be on the downhill side. Corn's a little different story here as a nation. 28% to 35% complete our expectations this afternoon compared to 22% last week. Oftentimes that last percent, is a concern, especially if there's some storage issues in some areas. But this crop's been anticipated from the commercial side as being large and having ample supplies. Basis continues to be the issue. Locally here, we're 40 under on beans and 35 under on corn. That's been the primary concern here. Basis probably continues to be wide for another 2 weeks. But when you look at November bean deliveries coming up, a commercial buying 40 under, and we're 30 miles from the river, there's some opportunities to end this wide basis and for commercials to pick up some cash green and actually deliver it and make, I would think, a fairly good profit. I don't believe it's going to cost them 40 cents to deliver them. But, we're going to speed through harvest here. Harvest pressure will be over. And I think we'll start our seasonal up in through here. Good technical action here last week. After the report, market traded lower. Corn went down, cleaned out the sell stops just underneath the market, was able to come back and record a price reversal back to the upside here. So timing-wise, we're past the Columbus Day holiday. Harvest-wise, we're a little slower than expected compared to a year ago. Technically, it looks fairly good if we can hold last week's low. Long-term one analysis, we have the 84-year low in place, so we're ready to go, Todd.
That's one analysis. How about your analysis? Do you think we're ready to go, too?
Well, I think we can hold in there and move sideways to higher. I'm not insinuating to hold on and pray for some higher price levels. It's going to take some work. There is no urgency right now for the end user to come forward and buy the market with 2.3 million bushel corn carryout and a 430 million bushel bean carryout and ample supplies worldwide. It's going to be a tough road ahead of us. When you look at the market structure of carrying the marketplace, the issue we could run into is December corn goes off the board here at 350. The next contract is the March at 364, 365, and it can roll down to where the D's went off. So we could get in a sideways trending market here for the next 2 to 2 to 6 months here until we get into next late winter and see how the South American crop finishes up on its maturity. So it's going to be a long, drawn process. So it's a matter of pushing the pencil and looking at different options available to you to get through this winter.
So that brings me to a question. As the corn crop comes in, obviously some of it will have to go into commercial storage. This is wide at the moment. Should producers be willing to go ahead and pay the in charge, or do they go ahead and just ship it across the scale?
Standard answer, everyone's a little different, of course. It just depends on your own situation. On-farm shortage, yeah, you can capture the carry there. Like you mentioned, though, there's a little bit more math to that. Now, there are some areas or locations where it does pay to store it and pay the in-charge, and you going out after the first year, it does pay for it just instantly. So if you do that, you need to store it and want to capture it, you need to go ahead and sell it, or else if you do store it, go ahead and look at these March put options to put a price floor on you, because you are subject to some risk here if we don't get things going here, and protect the flat price, the board price to the downside, then look for basis to improve seasonally here as we move into March. So, you know, this depends on your cash flow needs. There's going to be plenty of cash grain for sale. You're actually competing with your neighbor on trying to get this cash grain sold here in the next 6 months.
How's consumption look for corn?
Huge. I mean, consumption's not going to go away. Part of that consumption, though, is the export side. The bear is spinning that these exports are going to slow. They are a little slow compared to a year ago. But when you look at overall the use, it's just not going to go away. We've got basically, you know, strong feed demand. The ethanol usage continues to stay in place. So, I think the total use number is not going to be one to really be concerned about here as we move through this winter into next spring.
And finally, anything for the livestock producer?
Spread activity, buying pork, selling cattle. Cattle took it on the chin a little bit today. These December fats up towards this 118s. Probably going to be a little on the rich side. Last week's reports continues to indicate that the overall domestic consumption is going to remain strong for red meat in general. Also, to export to Asia is not going to go away. We're going to continue to see shipments to Asia be strong. Pork-wise, today's kill was about 20,000 head less than expected, so that kind of gave the market some support there. This is pork month, October, so look for the hog market to stay strong here for the next 2 weeks.
Thanks much, Kurt.
Very good.
That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. In today's agricultural news, we'll start with NAFTA. The mood at the Sheraton Pentagon City over the weekend was perhaps best summed up in the words of one attendee close to the talks, who described the outlook as pretty pessimistic, and all were wondering how close Washington might be to walking away from the table entirely. The talks continue today. Here's a rundown of some of the primary points. Trade deficits. The Trump administration wants to renegotiate NAFTA in order to reduce the U.S. trade deficit. Dairy. The U.S. made a proposal to reverse a Canadian pricing program that has undercut certain U.S. dairy exports north of the border. Auto rules of origin. The United States formally introduced a proposal to drastically tighten the rules of the origin for automobiles, calling for the amount of content in a car that must be sourced from a NAFTA country in order to be eligible for tariff benefits to rise to 85% from its current 62.5%. And finally, seasonal produce. Mexico gave a hard no to the produce proposal on Friday, sending its first clear signal that the proposal might be fought. An industry compromise appears elusive, dividing fruit and vegetable growers in the United States. One other note about NAFTA. No matter how extreme Ottawa and Mexico City may consider some of the United States' latest proposals, both countries appear ready to stay on board for the duration of the negotiations. That takes care of trade, but let's transition a bit to business. BASF has signed an agreement to purchase Bayer's crop science business for $7 billion. BASF is purchasing Bayer seeds for mainstay crops, including cotton and soybean, plus the herbicide brand Liberty. The move by Bayer is part of its agreement to purchase Monsanto. Well, another lock and dam on the Ohio River has stalled more than 500 barges because it's closed. The Waterways Council says last week the issue is related to rising river conditions, which boosted water levels above maximum operating limits. However, water levels were expected to fall back below the maximum locking stage by the start of this week. The closure is the second at Lock and Dam 52, which closed last month to replace wooden wickets. And finally, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has announced new restrictions for dicamba-based herbicides, classifying dicamba as a restricted-use product. The EPA said that only certified pesticide applicators or people under their supervision will be allowed to spray dicamba. The EPA is also reducing the maximum wind speed and the hours during each day when dicamba may be sprayed, and will require farmers to keep records proving they're complying with the product label. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Last week, the United States Department of Agriculture updated the USDA report's crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates. Todd, let's talk a little bit about soybeans. There were some changes in the report, but as it related to production, and to some extent, I suppose, also the ending stocks for 17-18 for soybeans, they were not unexpected and or unchanged at all. What'd you make of them?
The production level went unchanged despite them dropping the national average yield 0.4 bushels an acre. They raised the number of harvested acres, and most of this action took place in the Corn Belt states if you look at the data. The ending stocks, the beginning stocks number for 17-18, 301, we knew that at the end of September. They adjusted accordingly. And so what we see for the 17-18 ending stocks projection of 430 million bushels, it's down just based off the change in the beginning stocks for the marketing year. So the price reaction we saw from soybeans seemed a bit extreme for... We sort of knew that going into the report. I think maybe the idea that the yield peeled back a little bit and that ending stocks number came down is providing some support to prices. And we have seen pretty good export numbers for soybeans out of the gate here in the marketing year. I just like for people to remember the USDA, I think we've become accustomed over the last few years as we move through the marketing year for soybeans, that they'll revise exports up, and then the ending stocks tend to get revised down, and for a variety of reasons. Either demand in China was higher than they thought, or like last year, South America had a drought, and we picked up the slack there a bit. This year, the USDA started out with this export forecast of 2.25 billion bushels, which is a record, which is about 3.7% above last year's export numbers. And so far, through like, you know, October 12th, while we have had strong export numbers, the export inspections we've seen aren't up to that pace thus far in the marketing. Now, that doesn't mean we panic and this 2.25 is not going to happen, but the idea that those numbers might get revised up over the marketing year, we need to really pay attention to those numbers as we move through the year, export numbers, because the idea of moving even higher than 2.25 billion bushels, while feasible at this point in time, may not be as probable as what we've seen in the last few years.
And unlike corn, where exports do not make up the bulk of usage, exports in soybeans are a tremendous amount.
They're a big amount. We need those markets. We need to be competitive in those markets. And we have been. I'm not down on the export market. I'm just, when I look at it, are we going to see another year where any stocks get revised down and exports get revised up through the marketing year in soybeans? I'm not confident in that happening this year.
It's probably important to note that USDA not only didn't end up changing total production because it came to it calculated in a different way, it also did not change what it sees as the average season's cash price, left it at $9.20 at the midpoint.
Yep, it just left it sitting there. No, they didn't change consumption for 17-18, and they didn't change production for 17-18. The only thing that changed was the beginning stocks based off the September 1st stocks report. So, yeah, they just left it sitting there somewhere between that range and the WASDE report. And while we've seen this big run, this rally after the reports came out, the production report, the WASDE, the whole suite of reports USDA produces, I'm wondering, you know, can we consolidate this rally? Or will it look like the other rallies we've seen this year where we run up and then it runs back down? Right now, I feel like we might retrench a little bit, maybe not run all the way back down. Really, it's coming down to export numbers, and I'm paying close attention to those because, you know, total commitment sales, while they've been strong, they're not at the level that we would think for this $2.25 billion. And also, we're looking at Brazil and their soybean production in this year.
Switch your attention to corn. USDA didn't change its average season's cash price for corn either. However, it did manage to pick up nearly 2 bushels in yield.
Well, I mean, we've heard these reports through the corn, but I know in Illinois, you've probably heard them too, Todd, where everybody's saying their yield's a lot better than they thought it was going to be. You know, when we look at the history of yields where we see these kind of patterns where the yield number goes up from August to September and September to October, most of the time it goes, the idea of do big crops get bigger, it tends to happen that way. I'm not saying it's going to happen this time, but in all probability, we're looking at an increased production level as we move through this crop production year, which is not really that supportive for corn because we already have a lot. We carried out almost 2.3 billion bushels. It looks like ending stocks for 17-18, despite them raising feed and residual 25 million bushels, feed, seed, and industrial use another 10 million bushels. I mean, there's a lot of consumption out there. We've seen strong consumption, but we have a lot of corn. So, you know, I think corn prices are going to continue to struggle over the under the stocks in this idea of increasing production for this particular crop for the short term.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. Well, let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Amy Sage now joins us from the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County. You guys were busy over the weekend, at least on Saturday. I know I saw Brian Stark, and I take it you were out at the end of the driveway, too, trying to direct traffic in.
Yes, we definitely had a really, really big corn day on Saturday. Now, yesterday was a little bit slower with the weather. Quite a few were rained out after Saturday night, but and it looks like we've got a few guys switching over to beans this afternoon, so not quite the same traffic as what we had on Saturday, but we got hit hard with corn and had a pretty big day on Saturday.
How are the crops?
Still better than expected in most areas. Obviously, there's some areas with a little bit higher ground. Sandier soil is not seeing as good of yields as what everybody else is, but for the most part, as a general rule of thumb, people are very pleased compared to what they were expecting going into the season.
Nearby basis is wide?
It is, but we've actually improved ours over the past week. So we're 24 under the D's right now on corn. Soybean basis still 34 under the no.
And your bids for the day?
326 cash corn, 957 cash beans, 428 cash wheat.
Have a good harvest season.
Thank you. You too.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Helps us take a look at the cash grain market. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago to discuss what's been happening in the weather forecast. We had some rain over the weekend. Mark, can you start by telling me where that happened?
Yeah, well, up here in northern Illinois, in the Chicago area, where we're based out of, pretty much the epicenter of the heaviest rain. We had swath of northern Illinois, even extending into southern Michigan, that picked up amounts ranging from 3 to 7 inches, even some isolated heavier amounts. As you moved away from there, certainly totals were lighter, but still in a few areas of like north central Illinois or southern Wisconsin, able to still pick up a couple of inches, which likely slowed things down a little bit here this past weekend. But it was really northern Illinois, northwest Indiana, and southern Michigan that got hit the hardest.
Things have cleared out and will be pretty good for the rest of the week?
Yeah, really the next opportunity for any kind of rainfall here in Illinois, Indiana, let alone the entire Corn Belt, it's going to be taking place on Sunday. That's the next frontal passage. So we have about 7 days of dry conditions, also warmer than normal temperatures, and certainly help dry things down in those areas that were hit hardest by this weekend's storms.
Anything else in the United States before I head to Mato Grosso?
No, overall a pretty quiet weather pattern here in the U.S. With no issues of melon at the present time.
We've been watching and waiting for more rainfall out of Mato Grosso. Is anything expected?
Yes, we continue to see signs of an improvement in rainfall across Mato Grosso and the Central West region. The best opportunity coming up looks to be during the final 6-7 days of the month. That's when this frontal system that's been basically stalled across southern Brazil will begin to advance northward and begin to produce an opportunity for more significant rainfall across Mato Grosso. And computer models are going that route. Certainly the weather compared to what they looked like last week. But part of that is just the overall pattern progression here. And we feel that by the end of the month that those dry pockets in Mato Grosso, the vast majority of that dry acreage should see market improvement.
Any other places around the globe that we need to be watching at this time?
Yeah, still some lingering dryness in portions of the Black Sea wheat belt, namely far eastern Ukraine and southwest Russia. While there has been some improvement in recent days as a storm system tracked across that region, the pattern through the balance of October looks to feature dry conditions now. So it could still keep some lingering dryness there into the first part of November.
Mark, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois.